From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences the second of two messages entitled, Secure in the Incomparable Love of God. Again, the text is verses 5 through 11 of chapter 5. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, having expounded the doctrine of justification, Paul now takes up the believer's security and assurance. Verse 5 speaks of the Holy Ghost having been shed abroad or poured into our hearts at the moment of our salvation. In verse 6, the apostle goes on to show that in giving Christ to die on the cross, God provided the greatest possible demonstration of His love toward sinners. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Perhaps he rolls in riches, and thou art poor, and living in thy little cot side by side with his lordly mansion. Thou seest every day his estates, his fine linen, and his sumptuous banquets. God has given him these gifts. Covet not his wealth, and think no hard thoughts concerning him. Be content with thine own lot, if thou canst not better it. But do not look upon thy neighbor, and wish that he were as thyself. Love him, and then thou wilt not envy him. Perhaps, on the other hand, thou art rich, and near thee reside the poor. Do not scorn to call them neighbors. Own that thou art bound to love them. The world calls them thy inferiors. In what are they inferior? They are far more thine equals than thy inferiors. For God hath made of one blood all people that dwell upon the face of the earth. It is thy coat which is better than theirs, but thou art by no means better than they. They are men, and what art thou more than that? Take heed that thou love thy neighbor, even though he be in rags or sunken in the depths of poverty. But perhaps you say, I cannot love my neighbors, because for all I do they return ingratitude and contempt. So much the more room for the heroism of love. Wouldst thou be a featherbed warrior instead of bearing the rough fight of love? He who dares the most shall win the most. And if rough be thy path of love, tread it boldly, still loving thy neighbors through thick and thin. Heap coals of fire on their heads, and if they be hard to please, seek not to please them, but to please thy master. And remember, if they spurn thy love, thy master hath not spurned it, and thy deed is as acceptable to him as if it had been acceptable to them. Love thy neighbor, for in so doing thou art following the footsteps of Christ.
He lives for you.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
We reach Romans chapter 5, continuing there. We're in the section verse 5 through to verse 11. We have covered the first great statement of verse 5. We will be continuing from verse 6 tonight. Romans chapter 5, we'll commence reading at verse 5 through to the end of verse 11. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his precious word for his name's sake. Now, if you've got a very good memory, you may recollect I've pointed out that Romans 4 marks the end of the very full, formal treatment of the subject of our justification. Paul has explored the subject. He has answered every conceivable objection. And while he will continue to throw light upon it in the ensuing chapters, nonetheless, from chapter 5, he is really dealing with the one great result of justification, and he's going to follow that result through in many ways. But as I've taken time to establish from the text in chapter 5 and 6, 7, 8, 9, right through, the emphasis is upon the security that Christians have because of justification. Chapter 4 ends that Christ was delivered on account of our offenses. He was raised again on account of our justification. Therefore, chapter 5 begins, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that launches Paul into the extended treatment that he gives us of this wonderfully important subject of the security of believers in Jesus Christ. And something that is closely allied to the subject of the believer's security is the believer's assurance. Those words may seem synonymous to many of you. In fact, they are not. You may be secure and not be living in the enjoyment of that because of a felt lack of assurance. And Paul does not mean that we should have security without the joy of assurance. So he ties these two aspects of the subject together in chapter 5 and indeed in the passages that follow. Now, the argument of the portion that's before us tonight is very simple, very straightforward. Verse 4 has ended up with experience leading to hope. And the first line of verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed. This hope, remember what I said about hope, never forget it when you're reading what the Bible has to say on Christian hope. Hope does not refer to something that we want to happen, but it's in doubt whether it will happen. Hope rather refers to that which is guaranteed to happen, and we are waiting for it to come to pass. There are certain things that God has guaranteed, and to the justified, He has guaranteed eternal glory. And that hope of glory, Paul says, maketh not ashamed. I don't want to retrace my steps tonight because, as you will probably have figured out already, I have quite a few steps ahead of me to get through this evening, so I don't want to go back over the old ones. But it bears repeating, and we should never forget it, that the hope of a Christian is as solid as the throne of God and as certain as the work of Christ. This hope will never make us ashamed. This hope will never let us down. The man whose faith is in Jesus Christ will never be disappointed. The one who has abandoned his soul to the Savior and who has no merit to plead before a holy God but the merit of Christ crucified and risen again, that man will not fail to enter into heaven because his hope maketh not ashamed. Now, Paul is very much aware of the dramatic importance of that statement. He's fully aware that judged by the standards of current Jewish belief, and I might add, judged by the standards of current so-called Christian belief, this is truly an amazing statement. But his whole point in verses 5b through to the end of our passage tonight is to show that however amazing, this statement is nothing but the sober truth of God. And so he proceeds to make this argument. He says in verses 5 through 11, God has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost, who has poured into our hearts the love of God. That love that led the Son of God to die for us, and to rise again for us to sit at the right hand of God. And Paul is arguing here that if we grasp the reality of God's immeasurable love, we will realize that there's no room for doubt in our hearts, no doubt that believers have an immovable security and a well-grounded assurance. And verse 11 indicates, for anyone in that position, anyone who has security in Christ and assurance from Christ, there's nothing he can do but glory or rejoice or triumphantly, exultingly proclaim glory in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the atonement or the reconciliation. The great subject here, therefore, is secure in God's incomparable love. Paul has, I think, five statements here. You may hope for less, but we have covered a couple of them, so it will be less. He takes five statements. The beauty of how, I always like to see how Paul builds his argument, especially in this book of Romans. Sometimes you get the impression that analysis of a book is a dry subject. But in Romans, you will find that half the beauty is in actually how Paul builds the argument. And he has five statements here. Every one of them in itself is sufficient to establish his main thesis, that believers have a perfect security. And yet each one leads to another one, until together he brings them in one almighty, powerful argument that leads them to the assurance, we shall be saved from wrath. Now follow him carefully. Verse 5, the end of the verse, God has given us the Holy Spirit. When you realize that God has given the believer the Holy Spirit, and let that sink in, and we have already taken time to study that in some depth and some detail, what it means to have the Holy Spirit. When you consider God gives the believer the Holy Spirit, and the tense of the verb in this particular verse indicates that this is a reference to that crisis experience when God converted us and saved us and brought us into Christ. When he did that, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And when you recognize the full import of that, you will realize it's impossible to have the Holy Spirit and to perish. The Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, God's gift to the justified, is proof of our security. But then he makes the statement in verse 5 that the Spirit witnesses to us of God's love for us. For the Spirit pours, the idea here is, he pours the love of God into our hearts. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given unto us. When you add this to the fact that God has given us his Spirit, you'll see that when the Spirit witnesses God's love to us, pouring that in to our souls, filling our hearts with the assurance of the love of God for us, you'll realize this is another great argument that says we have everlasting, immovable security. But now he adds another tier. Not the weeping kind of tier. Another level in the argument. He has given us his Spirit. His Spirit witnesses to us of the love of God. Now he goes on, God's love is demonstrated by Christ's sacrifice. God's love is demonstrated by Christ's sacrifice. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, notice the four, the Holy Ghost has poured the love of God into our hearts. He's witnessing to us, God loves you. Now how does he prove that? Because when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do we know God loves us? Oh, the devil would like to get our attention onto a host of other things. He would like to say to you, consider, if God loved you, why would he let this arise in your life? Why would he let that arise in your life? If God loved you, why would you ever suffer? Why would you ever face illness? Why would you ever have bereavement? Why? Understand this. The demonstration of the love of God par excellence is Calvary. And following Calvary, God needs to do nothing to demonstrate his love. In fact, I could go so far as to say there is no other action that can possibly demonstrate the love of God if you take Calvary out of the picture. This is the very epitome of God's love. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.